Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Sing to the Lord a new song, says Psalm 96, but more than a few people today would just as soon sing an old song to the Lord. Whatever happened to hymns, asked Elizabeth Elliot in her newsletter. She asks, may I lodge a plea to make sure that some great hymns are displayed in addition to the praise songs? Why such a plea? Hymns will get you through the night, she says. Let's go back to the new song that the psalmist talked about. The fact is that when God touches a person's life, there is a new song, a song of rejoicing and praise. Worship really begins when someone encounters God, and God responds touching the life of that person, which gives him or her a song of joy, a note of praise which was never there before. I've never heard anyone say, when I started reading James Michener, I got a song of rejoicing. Or, when I began studying behavioral psychology, that's when I really found something to sing about. No, but I have met people the world over who can honestly say, when I found God, a new song was born in my heart. Paul instructed the Ephesians to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He said, sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. From the days when David played his lyre to the present, praise music has been a vital part of the liturgy of the saints. 200 years ago, there were two books which people took to church with them, a Bible and a hymnal. It was a simple book with the words to hymns printed in it. Today, however, there is nothing which is more controversial to many, especially the over 60 crowd, than music. Every generation uses music as a reflection of their thoughts and culture, including the present one who have birthed a new genre of music, usually called contemporary, much of which is taken from Scripture itself. But here's the question. Are we losing something vital, something which has been part of our heritage, when we lose the hymns of Wesley, Watts, Fanny Crosby, and a host of others whose music blessed our grandparents and their parents before them? Must it of necessity be one or the other? Now, I concede there are good hymns and poor ones whose meter and verse is off base. Yet most of the old hymns of the faith focus on the nature and character of God as opposed to what we do. Notice how many of the contemporary songs are a reflection of what we do and what we feel. They focus on what I do. I worship you. I praise your name. I lift your name on high. While many of the hymns stress who God is. Both are important. Second, hymns establish continuity with the past and with generations of bygone Christians who sang, "A mighty fortress is our God," and "How firm a foundation," or even "Onward, Christian soldiers." Third, hymns are bridges to brothers and sisters the world over. I'll never forget the time I led a group to Israel, and as we stood in the upper room, traditionally the site of the Last Supper, our group began to sing an old hymn. Then in a few moments, a French group began singing the same thing in their language, and then moments later, a German group sang the same thing. Suddenly, our differences, our points of origin, were unimportant. We were just brothers and sisters worshiping the same Lord. Elizabeth Elliot is right. Hymns will get you through the night. Wise are the parents who teach their offspring some of these great hymns of the faith, along with the praise and worship songs which have replaced them in many churches. Think about it.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. For more practical and inspirational messages, visit guidelines.org. If you find our devotionals helpful and would like to share them with others, consider supporting our ministry with a donation. Again, that's guidelines.org. Thanks for listening to Guidelines for Living.